a lot of your crew and team have been with you for quite a while, since the early years.
Yeah. Oh, for such a long time.
Is loyalty like a really important factor to you?
Well, it's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, loyalty is obviously important for us, but it's something else that we've always understood, is that it's about creating a certain kind of culture on the road which makes it work, which makes it bearable. And for us, the kind of atmosphere around the shows is really important. And over the years, we've been very lucky that the people that we've hit it off with and have, you know, worked out well for us have understood that and been a big part of creating that thing. So, you know, there's no... You know, when we're on the road, it's like, it is like a small community. It's that kind of a feeling. And we're moving around the country at high speed, generally, you know, surviving and getting by and flying by the seat of our pants. But it's that, it's the support of all those people that we know and trust and are close to and have been over the years that make it possible to pull it off. And I think it's about going on stage and just knowing that there are no weak links, that, you know, mistakes happen, things get fucked up, but everybody is putting in just as much as the band are into making the show happen and making it special. And that goes from all the production people, sound, lights, down to security, making sure that the shows run smoothly, that, you know, no one is endangered in the crowd or on stage, and that it just is a good evening. And it's a very reassuring feeling that that is covered, and it's something that we've been we've tried to maintain over the years, and luckily enough have been able to.
Do you think it's harder for bands to break now than it was in the late 70s? There doesn't seem to be a lot of new acts coming from the British Isles hitting the big time in the United States. Do you think that it's in the sort of 77, 78, to an extent, the 80s, it was easier for bands to sort of break into the big time compared to now?
I don't know. I think it's always been hard. It doesn't seem to matter what era you come from, whether, you know, it was the Beatles trying to get a record deal or the Stones trying to get their career off in America or whatever. I think it's always hard, and it's specific to whatever generation it is trying to get their music across. When we were looking for a record deal, it was very hard. Once we had the record deal, to get play in America was almost impossible. The only thing that changed that was MTV. And nowadays, I think bands, okay, they get their record deals. It's hard to get on MTV. It's hard to get radio playlisted. But I'm sure that some bands will come through. It always seems to happen.
Because if you look at it, you've got U2, you've got The Cure, you've got Depeche Mode, you've got Morrissey to an extent. These are all bands who've been around for sort of 10 years plus. I find it a bit of a shame that we're not getting a lot of sort of young material coming from the UK.
We always found that the UK bands that came to America seemed to have such an attitude against America that it was tangible. And you found that the American record companies and the American radio stations would not warm to that kind of cynical English attitude. And consequently, they didn't get the kind of push that they deserved. And I think it is a problem that UK acts have in coming to America, is they are suspicious of Americans, they laugh at America and as Americans, and that doesn't make them any friends here. And if you do that, then you don't get any support from the industry.
When I was in New York and listening to WDRE, to an extent even K-Rock, looking at their playlist, I would think it would be fair to say that around 60 or 70% of the material that they're playing is coming from Europe and the British Isles.
Yeah. Definitely people want to hear the music. There's no doubt about that.
I personally think a problem some acts suffer from when they get big, people around them try to sort of appease them and keep on the good side of them, so as to keep their friendship or whatever, and they're not necessarily truthful with them. even if they're, you know, basically even if they think they're, you know, the band's heads are up their arse. How do you prevent yourselves from getting into a situation where you end up with your heads up your arses?
Well, there's four of us, and you know, we look out for each other in that sense. And no one, no member of the band is going to get too, you know, weird with, you know, before somebody else is going to have a word with them. I think that's basically.
Yeah, I read an article where Bono said when Gavin Friday's around, he sort of kicks him into shape or sort of.
Yeah, Gavin's good. Gavin's good to have around.
Yeah, I mean, we also have, like Gavin, we have a lot of friends that we've had for years in Dublin, and Irish people are very blunt, you know, they're very to the point, and they're also very good at giving advice, you know, and. You don't have to take all the advice, but if you hear something a few times, you might go and check out whether it's true. And it's really important for us, you know. Living in Ireland, or deciding to stay in Dublin and live in Ireland, it was a very good idea that we had all those years ago. I think it's really worked in our advantage.
Is there any period in U2's history that you sort of look back on that's, that might embarrass you, or vice versa, that you think that was a real cool period, that was like one of the highlights of your career so far?
There was a particular light blue denim top that I really regret. I wore it at an open air concert in Newcastle, and whenever I see those photographs, it's really a real mistake.
Do you still have the Afghan?
I still do have it, yeah. I'm waiting for the right kind of rock memorabilia auction for that one to go. No, I mean, I think the thing about U2 is you can look back on it, and it is, it's almost like a kind of a diary of growing up. And, you know, when you look back at stuff as 10 years old, you kind of go, oh, were we really that naive? You know, did we really think, you know, that things were that way? But it's learning, and, you know, in a sense, we wouldn't have been here without any of that stuff.
Sure.
So I think most of it's good.
Yeah, it's true. We started the band very young, and in fact, we're probably more or less the same age as a lot of the new bands coming out of America, you know, the Chili Peppers and all. Mm. I mean, I don't know how old they are, but I imagine we're not that much older, maybe by a year or two. It seems like you two have been around for so long, because we started when we were 17.
You know, we didn't know much about, you know, the right kind of haircuts or the right kind of shoes to wear. We just got into it for the music, and in a way we'd put out two or three records before we'd kind of realized that, you know, people in bands in London didn't give a fuck about the music as long as they had the right shoes on. And it took us a while to kind of find the right shoe shops.
Do you ever feel that, do you ever sort of think that you wish maybe at times you didn't have to be a spokes band or whatever for certain issues, and that you could just be a rock and roll band, or whatever, you could just get on stage and play your instruments and make records?
Well, I don't think that, because I think when you've been given, when you've been blessed with the kind of profile and opportunity that we have to make contact with large numbers of people through music or whatever else it might be, through cinema, through television, I think it actually passes up the opportunity of trying to use that in a positive way. Is would be a real tragedy, and it would be a mistake. So I think we're selective now. We don't do everything that we might feel would be worthy. We do the things that we feel we can make a difference with. So, for instance, the Greenpeace event we participated in to try and highlight the dangers of Sellafield. I mean, that was an issue that we'd really felt strongly about for a long time, but hadn't really figured out a way of contributing in any meaningful sense. But then this opportunity came up and we did it. You know, we might not do anything like that for another couple of years, but we still are interested in using our position in a positive way. It's just, it's a balance, you know. You don't end up becoming such a caricature of kind of do-gooder, that the people actually lose respect for you and end up tuning out because you're always on about something or other. So it's just about striking that right balance.
A couple of sort of trivia questions now to both of you, really. What was the first record you ever bought?
Mine was Slade, Take Me Back Home. It was about 11 or 12 at the time.
And I think the Beatles' White Album.
He was a poshie. He could afford albums.
Could afford double albums.
If I said to you, you could only meet one person in the history of time, if you had a choice of only meeting one person in the history of time.
One person in the history of time.
You had a choice of one person to meet in the history of time, who would that person be?
That's a heavy one. Trivial but heavy. Oh, it has to be old JC. It has to be.
Adam?
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
And if I was to say to you, you could go back in history.
Maybe Mary Magdalene.
I said that you could go back, you'd have to give up everything that you've achieved, but there was a period of time that you could live, but you couldn't come back to the present. Let's say I was going to stick you in the machine and say, you're going back, you're not going to come back. Would you choose to stay where you are? Would you take the gambling? And what period of time would you
I'd
choose to go
I
back
am.
To?
No, I mean, because I think actually this is a very interesting time, and I think the 90s, the next decade, is going to be even more interesting, and I'm dying to see what's going to happen, you know. I'm much more interested in the future than the past.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that as well.
Even take the gamble and sort of want to go back to the biblical days, or...
I suppose the Renaissance would be interesting, but I mean, whether you went back as someone who owned a palace or someone who worked in a palace, I'm sure there'd be very different realities.
Well, in my previous life, you know, I used to live on the island of Atlantis, so I've been told.
And where was that?
Atlantis. It was the Mid-Atlantic. Right. It split up. Part of it, in fact, did end up becoming Ireland. Another part became Iceland, and the majority of it sank somewhere in the Atlantic. But I can't remember which bit I lived on. But,
probably wasn't the Iceland bit.
No.
Out of all you've been in the sugar cubes then.
Out of all the stars who died at an early age, who do you think would have had the most to offer if they hadn't and if they'd still been alive? I just think how many stars would have, the Hendrixes, the Janis Joplins, who would have still been around today and still cutting it?
I think Hendrix would have been, I would have loved to have.
Some people say he would have been a soul singer.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had all these other sides to his musical life which I didn't know about, like his connection with Miles Davis, you know.
He was with the guitar for the Isley Brothers.
Played with B.B. King for a while. So
played with Little Richard for a while.
Yeah, he had a lot of different things that he might have done. I think Ian Curtis, you know, that guy was, you know, could have done some really great things. But, I mean, it's hypothetical. How do you know? Maybe, and that's probably why we're also fascinated with people who've done some great work and then are taken away, is because there is that sense of what might have happened. But you never know, you know. Maybe those first, like, half a dozen Hendrix albums would have been the best thing he ever did. You never know.
Rumour has it that on the cover of Achtung Baby, where Adam shows his genitals, that was superimposed. Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't need any of that airbrush shit, man, you know.
I mean, certain people have even said that
look, when you've got 8 inches, you don't need any more.
Edge, what would you do if your guitar tech on stage handed you a detuned guitar, completely out of tune guitar?
It's happened to me a couple of times. Not my current guitar tech, who's very together and would never do anything that bad. But early on, there was one instance where we had these new electronic tuners, which were like the latest technology at that time, and I can't remember who it was, but one of our guitar techs handed me a guitar that he had tuned using this tuner, and all the strings were perfectly in tune but to the wrong notes, and in fact we wrote a song as a result of the bizarre chord that I played.
Bono went bald, what do you think? Do you think he'd ever wear a wig?
Well, I think Bono is actually getting cooler as he gets older, so I think YouTube's gonna look a lot better when we're 50 probably than we when we do now. His, some of his heroes are people like Willie Nelson and Frank Sinatra and Bob Dylan, you know, guys who actually aged very well. I think Bono's gonna be one of those.
Yeah.
And do you ever query the whole thing? Do you ever sort of query how important it is? Do you ever sort of at certain moments think, is it really that important? What the hell is it all about?
I think it is important, but at the same time, you have to be able to laugh at it. You know, you have to kind of take certain aspects of it as worth, like, thinking about and getting right. But some of it, you just have to laugh at.
And finally, when does the Zoo TV tour hit the UK?
Well, we're thinking about next summer. So
you did the old court show, and I think Bono said at the end that you'd be coming back instead of playing.
Next summer, we're planning to come through Europe and bring this show with us.
Great.
It'll be different by then. That's the thing about the show, is it's evolving all the time. But it should be. We're looking forward to playing in Europe.
Anyway, thanks very much for taking the time out.
Adam. Okay, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Take care.